It's The Great Gildersleeve, starring Harold Perry, brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of a complete line of famous quality food products.
Happy New Year. I'm making no resolutions this year. I'm just going to be a bad boy. That's my only resolution. I'm going to be a bad boy.
What a terrible way to start the New Year. But before we condemn our hero, let us review the tragic events which have put him in this desperate frame of mind. It all started with Gildersleeve's plans for Summerfield's annual costume ball. When he got his costume, he naturally wanted to tell somebody about it.
Well, I won't actually tell her. That would be against the rules. I'll just let her guess. She'll never guess in a million years.
Avast there, me proud beauty. Open the hatch before I blow it in. 15 men on a dead man's chest. Yo-ho, in a bottle of Chloe.
Why, Throckmorton.
Got my costume for tomorrow night, Eve. Right here under my arm.
Oh, no, you mustn't tell me what it is, Throckmorton. That would spoil all the fun. No one's supposed to know who anyone is till the time comes for the unmasking.
Well, I wasn't going to tell you, Eve. But wouldn't you like to guess?
Well, come in anyway.
Thanks. Well, take my coat off. I've got to be getting right along home. Well, go ahead and guess, Eve.
Oh, I don't think that would be fair, Throckmorton. You might start hinting.
Oh, go on. Guess what I'm going to be.
Humpty Dumpty.
Why do you guess that?
I don't know. He's kind of roly-poly, and you asked me to guess.
Guess again.
Henry VIII?
Well, I get mixed up on those kings. Which one is he?
The fat one. The one with all the wives. You know, he...
Why do you guess only fat people?
I've guessed only two, and you insisted on my guessing, you know.
All right, I'll give you a little help.
15 men...
No, you don't. Now, be fair, Throckmorton. I want it to be a surprise.
But, Eve, the whole thing's a lot of nonsense. As soon as I call for you tomorrow evening, that'll give the whole thing away. By the way, what time do you want me to call for you?
You were planning to call for me?
Oh, of course.
Oh, I wish I'd known that before.
Well, of course I'm going to call for you if I'm taking you to the ball.
I didn't know you were taking me to the ball. Oh, I'm afraid it's too late now.
What?
You never asked me, Throckmorton. You never did.
Well, gosh,
I waited and you never asked me.
Gosh, I took it for granted that you and me, I mean, you and I...
And I took it for granted since I never heard from you that you'd invited someone else. So I accepted another invitation.
Listen, you sold me the tickets to this thing. I had a right to assume you were going with me.
Well, I sold over 50 tickets, Throckmorton. I couldn't go with all of them.
Nuts. Gosh, if I'd had the slightest idea, Eve. I mean, I've got my costume here and everything. You couldn't just...
Not now. I couldn't possibly. I'm sorry. But when you're inviting a lady to something, it's customary to invite her, you know.
I suppose you're going with that gym teacher again.
He was kind enough to invite me. And he's very nice, really. I'm sorry there was a misunderstanding, Throckmorton. I'll save you a dance if you like.
Don't bother.
Oh, now, Throckmorton, don't be a baby.
Who's a baby? I was going to be a pirate, but now I won't be anything. Won't even be there.
Hello, Miss Fenwick? How'd you guess? I bet you're surprised to hear from me. Say, do you happen to be doing anything this evening?
Oh, you are,
Well, I just thought... Well, same to you, Miss Fenwick. Nuts.
What's the matter with this town? New Year's Eve and everybody's going someplace.
Oh, well...
Leroy, will you tell me what you're doing running around in my long underwear?
That's not underwear. I'm Captain Marvel.
And that bath towel?
That's my cape. strength.
Look here, young man.
You want to see one of my mighty feats of strength? I can make this whole house disintegrate. All I have to do is say, Shazam!
Leroy?
Ooh, I said it. Lucky thing the house didn't hear me.
Calm down, will you? What are you getting dressed up for, anyway? You're not going anyplace.
I know, but everybody else is. Gosh, I want to have some fun.
I'll be here with you, my boy, the whole evening.
That's no fun.
What?
I mean, I thought you were going to the ball.
Ball? I'm doing nothing of the kind.
But I thought...
I decided the whole thing was silly, childish. I didn't want to go in the first place.
Marge is going.
Oh, no, she's not.
She is, too. She's going with Jerry Walsh.
Now, look here. I had this whole thing out 2 days ago.
Don't holler at me. I'm not the one.
Go upstairs and tell your sister to come down here.
Hey, Marge! Oh. Come down here!
I said go up and tell her.
She heard me. What do you want? I'll watch you!
I don't know what I have to do to get obedience around here. Marjorie, what's this I hear?
About what?
About your planning to go to the ball this evening with that Walsh boy?
Leroy.
I didn't say anything. I mean, I didn't mean to make any trouble, Marge. I just said what you said.
Never mind that. The point is, I told you 2 days ago, my dear, you were not going to that ball.
But, Unky, it's the first thing Jerry's ever invited me to. He's one of the stars of the basketball team. If I turn him down at the last minute, he'll
you
ever
could have... turned him down 2 days ago. I told you then.
You said you'd think it over. You said you'd see.
I said no. Besides, I've thought it over. Ball is no place for a girl your age. It's apt to turn out to be a very rowdy affair. That's why I'm not going myself.
I think you're mean.
Moreover, I don't want you going around with that Jerry Walsh. From what I hear, he's inclined to be wild. All basketball players are wild. One of the wildest boys I ever knew was a basketball player.
Oh, why don't you let her go?
Listen, who's running this house, you or me?
I didn't know anybody was running it.
You go upstairs.
To bed? Now?
Well, go away anyway. This is just between your sister and me.
Sorry, Marge.
Go on, Leroy. Disintegrate. Shazam.
Okay. Telephone!
We heard it.
I'll get it.
Hello?
Hey, Unc, you want to play me checkers? Quiet, Leroy. I can't hear.
Not now, Leroy.
Later, huh? Later, will you play me checkers?
Leroy.
We'll see, Leroy.
I'll set up the checkerboard just in case.
Will everybody kindly, for heaven's sake, be quiet?
Francie? I can't go. My uncle.
Yes.
I know. And what do I tell Jerry? The first thing he's ever invited me to. I mean, I'll be so humiliated, I'll just die.
Yes.
My costume? I don't know. Burn it, I guess. What good is it now?
Costume, eh? Didn't know it had gone as far as that. Well, I can't give in now.
Now, that is not true, Francie. My uncle is really very nice if you know him. It's just about this one thing. He seems to be a little old-fashioned.
You needn't look at me, my dear. You have my decision.
Well, I don't know. He's being so stuffy about everything these days, but I'll ask him. Uncle Mort, if I can't go to the ball, can I at least go over to Francie's and spend the night?
Oh, so Francie's mother wouldn't let her go to the thing either, eh? I told you it was no place for young girls.
Well, may I?
I see no objection as long as you're in bed by a reasonable hour.
Miracles will happen, Francie. He said yes. I'll be right over. What?
Excuse me.
Well, Bertie, you're all dressed up.
Yes, sir.
You look super, Bertie. I wouldn't know you.
Well, thank you, Leroy. You're looking well yourself.
You mean my football helmet?
I don't think he's had that off since Christmas.
Yeah, take it off, Leroy. You want to be bald?
Okay, goodbye, Francie. Be right over.
Mr. Gilfreeve, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you a happy and prosperous New Year. Is it all right if I go now?
Yeah, same to you, Bertie, and you go right ahead. Yeah, by the way, where are you going?
Well, it's starting over to Jack Chase's house. Goodness knows where it'll wind up.
Oh? Well, I suppose that's your idea of a way to have a good time. My idea of the way to spend New Year's Eve is just sitting quietly here by the radio, laying plans for next year.
Well, a man can't break any bones that way. Enjoy yourself, Miss Gilfrey.
Yeah, you too, Bertie. Happy New Year.
Hey, aren't you going to play checkers? I've got the board all set up.
Oh, I suppose so. Just when I'm sitting down.
I'll let you have the first move.
Oh? Well, there.
I expected that.
I suppose she's leaving by now. With that gym teacher.
Your move, Unc.
Oh?
They'll all be there. Eve, Floyd, Evie, Booker. All of them. Everybody but me. What's that?
Your move.
Oh. Well.
Ha!
Leroy, it's your bedtime.
You haven't got your mind on the game, huh?
I'll admit I haven't got my mind on the game, but you go to bed anyway.
Do I have to?
Yes, it's 10:45.
Okay, gosh. Good night, Uncle.
Good night, my boy. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What's happy about it? Marjorie out, Bertie out, Leroy in bed. Suppose I could listen to the radio. I've missed date with Judy, though, and Fibber McGee. Gosh, it's midnight there already. That means it's 11 here. Clock's slow.
Well, it's just about time. It's the moment you've all been waiting for here. So now let's see how they're taking the new year in the dear old South. Take it away, Atlanta.
Atlanta? Yeah, Leela could be there.
For your listening pleasure, the music of Matty Copeland and his orchestra coming to you from the glamorous Magnolia Room of the Jefferson House. And now, here's a lovely little lady, one of the guests here. Won't you step up to the microphone, honey, and tell the folks what you think of this celebration?
Well, I just think we're all just having just the loveliest time here. And I just love New Year. And I just wish you all could be here, because we're just having the loveliest time. I declare, I think...
And there it is. Happy New Year, folks.
That girl, she sounded just like Leela. She couldn't have been, though. Leela. How many New Year's Eves have I spent with Leela?
Oh, Lang Syne, my dear. Oh, Lang Syne. We will take a cup of kindness yet.
Like fun, we will. Leela, where is she now? Married? To somebody else. And Eve stood me up for a gym teacher. Yeah, that's what you get for being a gentleman. After all the nice things you do for them all year, and the chips are really down when it's New Year's Eve, what do you get? Left at home twiddling your thumbs while they're off cutting up with somebody else. Oh, shut up. Yeah, happy New Year. I'm making no resolutions this year. I'm just going to be a bad boy. That's my only resolution. I'm going to be a bad boy. And by George, I'm going to that ball, too. If nobody wants to go with me, all right. I'll be a lone wolf. Yes, sir. I'll get into my pirate suit, and I'll go down there, and if anybody thinks I'm fooling, she'll find out.
We'll join the great Gildersleeve at the ball in just a minute. Tonight, the folks at Kraft extend their very best wishes for a happy, healthy New Year. They also want to pledge their best efforts to produce for you in 1947 more of those fine Kraft food products that have been so much in demand and often so hard to get these past few years.
That sounds very promising, Mr. Lang. And I hope especially they'll be making more parquet margarine. It's our family's favorite spread for bread. But still a bit scarce, you know.
Well, then, here's some good news. Kraft hopes to produce much more parquet this year. Of course, some of the fine farm products from which parquet is made are still in short supply. But the outlook is a lot brighter. And as more of these wholesome farm products become available, we'll be rushing parquet margarine to your dealer. Fresh and country sweet in flavor. The same fine quality as always. So look for it in your favorite food store. Look first for the margarine of Kraft quality. Look first for Parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y, Parquet margarine, made by the Kraft Foods Company.
Pardon me. Pardon me. Hey, look where you're going. Floor slippery. Better pull for the shore, mate. Join the stag line over by the punch bowl. Pardon me. Pardon me. Well, a fellow pirate. Shiver my timbers in a yo-ho-ho.
Yo-ho-ho yourself.
Peavy, is that you? I never would have known you.
Yeah, it's me, all right.
I'll bet you don't know who I am.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Happy New Year, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Somebody must have told you. Say, Peavy, I'm looking for the stag line. You know where it is?
Sure, this is it right here.
You mean you're the stag line? Where's Mrs. Peavy?
She's dancing with George Washington. As soon as I can cut him out, we're going home.
George Washington?
Judge Hooker. There they go now. Oh, hello, dear.
Hooker, the old goat, in knee breeches and silk stockings. Well, there's no use standing here moping, Peavy. We're pirates. Let's be pirates. Grab ourselves a couple. Say, how about that lady bareback rider?
I noticed her myself. Interesting costume.
You said it. Come on, let's grab some girls, Peavy.
You grab one. I'll watch.
Huh? Have to wait till the band starts again anyway. Now what?
Ladies and gentlemen, your kind attention, please.
Chief Gates. Is that who it is, Peavy?
That's right. He's the Grand Marshal. Must be going to say something.
Your attention, please. It's been called to my attention that some of the gentlemen have been smoking here in the auditorium. Smoking in the auditorium is against the fire regulations. Gentlemen who wish to smoke will kindly go outside, or they can smoke in the boys' locker room in the southwest corner of the building. I thank you.
Boo. Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, going to try for the bareback rider?
You bet. What's more, I'm going to get her.
Then go ahead. Here she comes.
Don't worry. I see her. If I can...
Hi, Commissioner. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Peavy.
Happy New Year.
For heaven's sake, another pirate? Is that you, Floyd?
It ain't Captain Kidd. Well, I'll see you later. I got my eye on that lady bareback rider.
Oh, no, you don't. I got my eye on her.
So what? It's a free country.
You're a married man, Floyd. Isn't your wife here?
Sure she's here, but there's no law says I got to dance with her all night.
Well, you lay off that lady bareback rider.
You better get this settled, gentlemen. Here she comes.
Yeah, she's mine. Don't move, Floyd. Pardon me, fair maiden. May I cut in?
Hey, beat it, will you? I just got her a minute ago myself.
That doesn't make any difference. You're supposed to... Nuts.
What happened, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, a fella just got her. I decided to give him a break.
Horse feathers. She's just choosy, that's all. I tried her a couple of times myself.
Oh, is that so? Wait till next time around. I'll show you.
Here comes something, Mr. Gildersleeve. In the hula skirt there. Looks pretty good. For you, I mean.
Hula skirt? Say.
Listen, Commissioner, I
don't need any advice or help from you, Floyd.
Okay.
Pardon me, fair maiden. May I cut in?
You sure may.
See you later, pirates.
I'll be darned. He got her.
Yeah, he got her all right. I tried to warn him, but he wouldn't listen.
What do you mean?
That's the wife. Well, serves him right for being such a bullhead.
I remember when I was first going with Floydie, Mr. Gildersleeve. He used to take me to dances all the time.
Yeah.
He used to be nice and light on his feet, but he's terrible now. I suppose it's from standing around that barber chair all day. That'd give anybody fallen arches. And then he's put on so much weight.
Yes.
Whatever it is, I'm crazy about dancing, but he don't seem to care for it.
Would you like some punch or something, Mrs. Munson?
Oh, no, I'm not thirsty. I'd rather just dance, Mr. Gildersleeve. Bleach. You should have heard him holler. Do you think I look better blonde, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I guess so. I mean, not particularly. I mean, hi, Floyd.
Hi, Commissioner. Swell party,
ain't
it? Yeah. It's nice to see Floydie enjoying himself for a change. As long as I'm having a good time, too.
Yeah.
About my costume. He said he thought a hula skirt was too undignified, but I know what he meant.
Yeah.
He meant he thought I was too old for it.
Oh?
But I guess I showed him. What I say is a girl isn't too old unless she feels too old.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm too old for a hula skirt, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Mrs. Munson, will you excuse me for a minute?
I have to go to the boys' locker room.
Happy New Year. Why aren't you dancing?
I've been dancing and you know it. Why didn't you cut in on me when I waved at you?
That hula skirt didn't fool me.
Old goat.
Say, here comes the lady bareback rider. Who is she anyway?
I don't know.
My impression is she's a little too popular for the likes of us.
Us? Speak for yourself, Hooker. There's nothing the matter with me. Just watch me. Pardon me, fair maiden. May I cut in?
Oh, for Pete's sake. I just got her myself.
What of it? You're supposed to let an elephant. I'll report you to the Grand Marshal. He's a friend of mine. Nuts. Here's one that looks bad. Pardon me, fair maiden. May I cut in?
Throckmorton. Of course you may.
Gosh, I didn't know it was you. You look wonderful in that, whatever it is.
What a nice compliment.
It's a fact. Wouldn't have known it was you.
I'm supposed to be an Arabian princess.
Well, I'm a bold, bad pirate holding you for ransom. Say, how about shaking this fella you're with? We could go over to my place.
Oh, I don't think I could do that.
Why not? And the chief again, the big show-off, stops the music every 10 seconds or you make a speech.
Your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. In a few moments, we'll have the main event of the evening, the gentleman's foot race, followed by the unmasking, the grand march, and supper.
A foot race on this floor?
The regulations, as agreed on by the arrangements committee, are as follows. The ladies will line up at the east end of the auditorium, and the gentlemen at the opposite or west end.
Yes.
At the signal, the men will race to claim their partners. First come, first serve. That is, whoever you catch is your partner for the grand march and for supper, which will follow immediately. I thank you.
Shall we dance some more, Eve?
If you like.
Say, Eve, I've got an idea. Let's have supper together. Tell this gym teacher you promised me the supper dance.
But Throckmorton, you just heard the announcement. Everyone is supposed to race the supper partner.
Well, we could get around it. We could sneak out right now and come back after the race is over.
Why, Throckmorton, that would be cheating. But if you win the race fair and square, I'd love to have supper with you.
Race on this floor? Against a professional athlete?
Well, if you don't care enough to try...
Pardon me, may I cut in?
What the... Oh, him.
Oh, hello, Arthur. Thank you so much, Throckmorton.
You're welcome. My George, I'd like to show her. And that muscle man, too. Lionel Strongport. I could figure out a way to win that race.
Oh, why don't you look where you're going?
All ready for the main event. Are the ladies in their places?
Yeah.
Gentlemen in their places?
Yeah.
All right, I'll say 1, 2, 3, and then strike this gong, which has been kindly provided by Chick Miller, our orchestra leader. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
I made it. I choose the lady bareback.
Gildersleeve is the fastest man in the crowd. Let's give him a hand.
It wasn't so much.
How in the dickens did you do it, Commissioner? Everybody else was sliding around and falling down.
I went outside and put on my rubbers.
Well, I'll be darned.
I used my head, that's all.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone will now unmask.
Well, here I am, fair maiden, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, at your service. Come on, you have to take yours off, too.
Hey.
Marjorie, I forbade you to... That costume, why, it's disgraceful. And now I'm stuck with you for supper.
You're stuck. I wanted to eat with Jerry, and now he's got somebody else.
By George, I've got a mind to spank you.
Happy New Year, Marjorie.
Same to you, Miss Goodwin.
Oh, I think it was sweet of you to choose Marjorie as your partner, Throckmorton. After all, New Year's Eve is a time for families to be together.
Oh, what's the use?
Sing, Marjorie.
Wait and see for
Darn it, I can't even manage to be a bad boy.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again shortly. I suppose every one of us would like to know what's ahead in 1947. Well, at the Kraft Foods Company, we have high hopes that delicious country sweet parquet margarine will be available in larger quantities this coming year. More parquet will be produced just as quickly as more fine, wholesome farm products are available. And perhaps the time isn't far off when there'll be plenty of parquet margarine for everyone. And here's one thing you can be sure of. Every single pound of parquet you buy in 1947 will be the same fine quality as always. Rich in good flavor, high in food energy. Every pound reliably fortified with 15,000 units of vitamin A. So look first for this margarine of Kraft quality. Look first for parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y, parquet margarine, made by Kraft.
Pass the cinnamon rolls, will you, Marjorie?
Auntie, you have four.
I don't care. I don't feel good. I need nourishment. For heaven's sake, can't the chief even let us eat in peace?
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. The committee of judges have asked me to announce the name of the lady they have chosen as queen of the masked ball. I'm happy to announce that Her Majesty is Miss Marjorie Gildersleeve Forrester.
She's my niece. She's my niece, you hear?
By George, Gildersleeve blood will tell. Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. It is written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. The music is by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley as Leroy, Louise Erickson as Marjorie, and Lillian Randolph as Bertie. Judge Hooker is Earl Ross and Dick LeGrand as Mr. Peavy. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company and inviting you to listen in again next Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Good night. Happy New Year. See you in Memphis next week.
It's one of the finest desserts you can imagine. Yes, rich, velvety, smooth ice cream made with Frizz. That's F-R-I-Z-Z. Frizz is a new Kraft product women are raving about. It makes real homemade ice cream that has plenty of milk and cream in it. Just add water, a little sugar, and freeze according to directions on the package. Frizz is made by an exclusive process that retains the fresh cream flavor, gives you ice cream that freezes smoothly. Flavor variations from vanilla are easy. 6 generous servings from one package of Frizz.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. And Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Well, as some of you may remember, last night was New Year's Eve. Well, like everyone else, our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, had looked forward to celebrating with considerable anticipation. But as the poet Robert Burns put it, the best-laid plans of mice and men gang aft to glay.
I don't know about the men, but I'm certainly one of the mice Robbie had in mind, because last night somebody really ganged up on my glay. started off normally enough Saturday morning as I joined my landlady at the breakfast table.
Here, Connie, here's some tomato juice. It'll do you good, dear.
What is this, a down payment on tomorrow morning?
Oh, we won't need any tomorrow. Not if you come to my party tonight.
What kind of a party are you having, Mrs. Davis?
Very quiet, Connie. I just asked some of the neighbors in to listen to the radio and maybe dance a bit. It'll be a nice, relaxed evening. Of course, I am having some help with the refreshments.
Who's helping you?
Barney, the bartender from Mulligan's Saloon.
That should lead to a very relaxed evening, earlier than you think.
Oh, he's not going to serve any whiskey. You see, ever since he's been working for Mr. Mulligan, Barney's insistent on having New Year's Eve off.
Why is that?
He can't stand drunks. Barney likes nothing better than to drop over here and make us a little friendly bowl of punch. If I remember correctly, Connie, you sampled some of Barney's punch last year.
I almost did, Mrs. Davis. Somebody jostled me as I was about to drink some, and I spilled it on my black evening gown.
I don't remember that at all, Connie.
I do. It started a run in my dress.
Oh, you're exaggerating, dear. It was a very mild mixture. Why, we even dipped lady fingers into the punch bowl after a while.
I know. And a little while after that, the lady fingers were diving into the bowl. Now, I'm just teasing you, Mrs. Davis. I'd like nothing better than to share a little punch with you tonight, but I probably have a date with Mr. Boynton.
Probably. Hasn't he asked you yet, Connie?
Oh, you know Mr. Boynton. It takes him a week to get enough courage to speak up. You'd think he'd know where he stands by now. I've dropped him enough hints, heaven knows.
Hints?
Just yesterday, I told him I thought there was nothing quite as exciting as the scent of an orchid and the popping of champagne corks.
Do you think it'll work, Connie?
Indubitably, Mrs. Davis. He'll probably take me into a florist shop and let me smell an orchid while he cracks his knuckles.
Mr. Boynton isn't the biggest spender in the world, is he, Connie?
No, I think there's a Maharaja in India who spends $8 or $9 a week more. Mr. Boynton is a school teacher, and he probably just can't... Now, who can that be? Come on in. It's not locked.
Finished with your cereal, Connie.
Yes, thanks.
Well, good morning, Miss Brooks, Mrs. Davis.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Now, isn't that a coincidence, Mr. Boynton? I was just going to clear away the table and clear out.
Oh, what's coincidental about that?
Now she's got a good reason to.
Exactly. See you later, folks.
Take your time, dear. Well, Mr. Boynton, this is rather a surprise visit.
Yes, Miss Brooks, I guess it is.
Want a cup of coffee?
All right.
Keeps pretty hot in this percolator. There you are.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun. What do we do now?
Well, tonight, as you know, is New Year's Eve, Miss Brooks.
Yes, I know.
It's the one night in the year I believe in celebrating. You see, the only fun a bachelor can have, especially a bachelor schoolteacher, is to really let go once in a while.
Might also be fun to hold on once in a while. Don't look so shocked. I'll withdraw the statement. Strike that from the record, clerk.
The one thing I'm so grateful for, Miss Brooks, is that our relationship has always been completely honest and above board. I can talk to you straight from the shoulder.
You certainly can, Mr. Boynton.
I don't have to beat around the bush.
No, you don't.
I can come right to the point without stalling.
I hear you talking.
I don't have to mask my real intentions with a lot of pseudo-diplomacy.
Never know pseudo-diplomacy.
Well, what I'm trying to say, Miss Brooks, is that, well, several weeks ago, I promised to attend the Biologist Club New Year's Eve party at the Club Jamboree tonight.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. But the ticket cost $5, Miss Brooks, and, well, I only had enough for the one when I bought it. And, well, since then, I've had some unexpected holiday expenses and just haven't been able to afford another one. Of course, I'd love to ask you to join me tonight, but I couldn't very well invite you to pay for your own ticket, could I?
You could, but I couldn't. Pay for it, I mean. I've had some holiday expenses of my own, Mr. Boynton. 2 whole weeks of eating.
Well, I'm terribly sorry. Terribly sorry we won't be together, Miss Brooks. As a matter of fact, I suspected you were just as broke as I am. That's why I came over to see you now.
What do you mean, Mr. Boynton?
Happy New Year, Miss Brooks.
Same to you, Mr. Boynton. And thank you for a lovely morning.
That's It's all right, Miss Brooks.
Now let's sing two choruses of Auld Lang Syne, and this will be the earliest I've ever folded on New Year's Eve.
Please don't be annoyed, Miss Brooks. I'll be thinking about you tonight from the minute I sit down in that nightclub and pick up my noisemaker.
Well, thanks, Mr. Varney. I'll be thinking of you, too, tonight, as soon as I sit down by the window and blow my tin horn.
Well, I guess I better be running along now. Get cleaned up for the big night.
Yes, you do that, Mr. Boyne. I've got to help Mrs. Davis with the dishes. Forgive me if I don't walk you to the door.
Certainly. Well, see you next year, like they say.
Don't take any wooden biologist. Now, that's just dandy.
What's just dandy, Connie? Oh, where'd Mr. Boynton go?
Home to rest.
Oh, we've got a big night ahead of us, eh?
We've got a big night ahead of him. Mr. Boynton is going to the biologist party alone, Mrs. Davis.
Alone? But why, Connie?
He just can't afford to take me with him. The tickets are $5 a copy. Now, if I had $5, I could... Mrs. Davis?
I'd be happy to, Connie.
You would?
Of course, but I haven't got a quarter. I spent my entire budget for this week on tonight's party.
Oh, well, thanks just the same, Mrs. Davis. No sense in worrying about it, I guess. New Year's Eve is just another night.
Maybe that's Mr. Boynton again. I'll finish up in the kitchen, Connie.
Come on in. The door is still open.
Oh, good morning, Miss Brooks.
Mr. Conklin, what fortuitous circumstance brings Madison's esteemed principal to the humble abode of a lowly faculty member?
You've seen your share of Charlie Chan movies, haven't you? If you'll forgive me, Miss Brooks, I shall skirt the preliminaries and get right to the point. Firstly, Mrs. Conklin is visiting her sister, who has a touch of rheumatism in Philadelphia.
That's a bad place to get it.
Let's dispense with the fripperies, shall we? Secondly, her sister has sent their little boy, aged 6, to spend the holidays with my daughter Harriet and myself. Thirdly, I have promised Harriet she can go to a New Year's Eve party tonight. And fourthly, I have a dinner engagement with some old professor friends of mine from State Normal days.
But I don't understand, Mr. Conklin.
At this late date, it is almost impossible to secure a babysitter, Miss Brooks.
Now I understand. I'm sorry, Mr. Conklin, but I've been sitting with children for years now. I'm afraid I'm going to be busy tonight.
Ah, what a pity. It would only be until 10 o'clock, and I was contemplating payment of, say, $5.
Well, I'd like to help you, Mr. Conklin, but it's really out of the question for me to... Did you say $5?
That is correct.
Where and when?
7:30, my home.
I'll be there, Mr. Conklin.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. Thank you very much. Don't bother seeing me to the door. I know the way.
Thank you, Mr. Conklin. Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. Mrs. Davis! Mrs. Davis!
Yes, dear. What is it?
Well, it's going to be a happy new year after all. I'm going to sit with Mr. Conklin's nephew until 10 o'clock, and he's going to give me $5.
He must be quite a well-to-do little boy.
Mr. Conklin's going to give me the $5. Don't you see, Mrs. Davis, now I can buy my own ticket to the club jamboree and see the old year out with Mr. Boynton after all.
How nice for you, Connie.
Oh, just one thing, Mrs. Davis. On our way to the club, may I stop by here to pick up some lady fingers?
But doesn't the $5 you pay include a midnight supper, Connie?
Yes, it does, Mrs. Davis.
Then what in the world do you want for lady fingers?
We've got to have something to slip the waiter.
Eve Arden will continue in just a moment, but first, here is Vern Smith. Now, proof that brushing teeth right after eating with Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. Continuous research, hundreds of case histories, makes this the most conclusive proof in all dentifrice research on tooth decay. Eminent dental authorities supervised hundreds of college men and women for over 2 years. One group always brushed their teeth with Colgate right after eating. The other followed their usual dental care. The group using Colgate Dental Cream as directed, using Colgate's exclusively, showed a startling reduction in average number of cavities, far less tooth decay. The other group developed new cavities at a much higher rate. No other dentifrice offers proof of these results.
Modern research shows decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst right after eating. Brushing teeth with Colgate as directed helps remove acids before they harm enamel. Yes, Colgate contains all the necessary ingredients, including an exclusive patented ingredient for effective daily dental care. So remember, always use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay.
Well, I phoned Mr. Boynton and asked him to meet me in Mr. Conklin's home at 10 that evening. At 9:30, I was still trying to get little Stevie into bed. Now, listen, Stevie, it's getting awfully late. Just when do you propose to go to sleep?
Well, as soon as I get another glass of water.
But I've given you 3 glasses of water in the last half hour. What do you do with them?
I drank 2 and gave 1 to my animals. See? Uncle Osgood bought me these toys for Christmas.
They're very nice. Now get into bed, please.
Well, first tuck my lion in the bed.
All right. There, your lion's in bed.
Now my tiger.
Okay, your tiger's in.
Now put my Black Panther in.
Right, the Black Panther's tucked in. Now I'll just tuck... Stevie, why aren't you getting into the bed?
Who do you think I am, Clyde Beatty?
I wish I had a book on child psychology with me. A nice heavy one. Come on now, shove that menagerie aside and get in.
Okay.
Hello?
Is that you, Harriet?
Your daughter's dressing for her date, Mr. Conklin, but thanks for the comparison.
On the phone, all voices sound alike to me. How's my nephew, Miss Brooks?
Fine, Mr. Conklin. He's in his zoo. I mean, in bed.
Good, good. Has the dear little fellow floated off to dreamland yet?
Not quite, but one more glass of water should do it. There hasn't been any change in plan, has there, Mr. Conklin?
Oh, I know, Miss Brooks.
Then I can expect you in about half an hour?
I'm afraid it'll be considerably longer than a half hour, Miss Brooks. I'm staying over with some friends.
But you said you'd be back at 10.
That's right. I'll be back at 10 a.m.
Oh, but Mr. Conklin...
Awfully nice of you to do this for me, Miss Brooks. Good night and a happy New Year to you.
Oh, this is terrible. Harriet! Oh, Harriet!
Yes, Miss Brooks?
Your dad just called and told me he won't be home until tomorrow morning.
I know. He's staying with some old friends of his. From Normal.
There's nothing normal about it. When I agreed to act as Stevie's sitter, I thought your father would be back at 10 tonight. I have a date at that time with Mr. Boynton.
Oh, that's a shame, Miss Brooks.
Maybe I could call your dad back so we could make some other arrangement. Do you know where these friends of his live?
No, I don't. But don't get panicky. We'll think of something as soon as I finish dressing. That must be Walter Denton. Will you let him in, please? I'll just be seconds finishing up.
All right, Harriet. Coming.
Miss Brooks, I want a glass of water.
Quiet, Stevie. Darn kid. If it weren't for him, I could... Take it easy. I'm coming.
Happy, happy, happy New Year, Miss Brooks.
Walter.
Isn't it a wonderful night to see the old year out on? Aren't you just in love with tonight, Miss Brooks?
I'm crazy about it. Harriet will be ready in a few minutes, Walter.
Ah, dear Harriet. You know, that's what I like best about this holiday. The feeling of closeness it gives you to the one you care for. Especially during that one breathless, rapturous moment right before midnight. That moment like the hush of a giant wave ere it pounds mightily upon the golden sands. That tongueless moment of promised ecstasy, culminating in a crescendo of clamorous, amorous bliss.
Have you ever been hit with a 6-year-old child?
Miss Brooks, you don't seem very happy about New Year's. Haven't you got a date with Mr. Boynton?
That's just the trouble, Walter. I have. But I also have a date to sit here with Mr. Conklin's nephew, Stevie, until Uncle returns in the morning. It was all a misunderstanding, mostly on my part.
Gee, that's a tough break, Miss Brooks. Isn't there any way out for you? I know. Maybe you could hire a babysitter to sit in your place. Of course, it couldn't be just any ordinary person. It would have to be a very special kind of sitter to fill your shoes.
You never were great in anatomy, were you, Walter? But that wouldn't work either. Even if I had the money, which I haven't, it's too late to get anybody now.
Well, here I am, Walter. How do I look?
Devastating, Harriet. Absolutely soul-destroying.
How do you think I look, Miss Brooks?
Very atomic, Harriet. You should be the center of all eyes at your party.
Gee, I kind of hate to go with you in this spot, Miss Brooks. Did you tell Walter about your dilemma?
Yeah, she did, Harriet. But we can't seem to think of any way out.
Oh, don't worry about me, kids. I'll just celebrate New Year's Eve some other night.
Maybe when Mr. Boynton comes to pick you up, you could talk him into staying here with you instead of going to his old biologist club party.
Yeah, there's a swell phonograph and some keen records you could dance to.
Maybe I'll do that. In fact, I may do that even if Mr. Boynton doesn't stay.
Miss Brooks, I want a glass of water.
Excuse me, kids. I guess I didn't tuck him in tight enough. I'll be right there, Stevie. You run along to your party and have a good time.
You're certainly noble, Miss Brooks.
I'm not noble. I'm stuck. Go ahead now. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Noble or stuck, you're solid, Miss Brooks.
Thanks, Walter. Maybe Mr. Boynton will notice it and stick around a while.
I sure hope so.
Me too. Have the best possible New Year's under the circumstances, Miss Brooks.
I'll do my best. So long, kids.
Hey, did Cousin Harriet go out with Walter Denton?
Yes, Stevie, she did.
He's an idiot.
He's very fond of you, too. Here's your water.
Oh, thanks. Hey, could I also have an ice cream cone?
No, Stevie, no ice cream cones at this hour.
With a pickle in it?
That's different. You've got to have your vitamins. No, I'm just fooling. You've eaten quite enough for one night.
Are there any pickles in the house?
No, but I'd gladly let you have the one I'm in.
Well, here's my glass. You better leave it near the pitcher. I might get hungry again.
Mm-hmm. Thirsty. Oh, that's Mr. Boynton. Now, you put your little head down and dream you're a battleship.
Okay. Good night, Miss Brooks.
Good night, Stevie. I'll be right there. Oh, come in, Mr. Boynton. My, but you look handsome tonight.
Oh, thanks, Miss Brooks. You look quite handsome yourself. I'm glad to see you already. I'm just raring to go.
Well, unrare yourself, Mr. Boynton. I'm afraid I can't go with you tonight.
But you said on the phone that Mr. Conklin will be back.
Yes,
and you...
that was before he called me again. He won't be here until tomorrow morning. I can't leave Stevie alone. But I've been thinking, Mr. Boynton, we could have quite a nice time right here tonight.
Here? You and me?
And the phonograph. There are some fine records stacked over there by the sofa.
But, Miss Brooks, we have no chaperone.
Who has no chaperone? I'm here.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. I've already paid for my ticket, and the other members of the club expect me at the club jamboree. In fact, I promised I'd be there by 10:30.
Well, it's only 10 now. You could stay for a little while. Here, sit down on the couch, Mr. Boynton.
Well, I guess I could stay for about 10 minutes or so.
Fine, we'll have a million laughs. Do you like records, Mr. Boynton?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, say, here's quite a pile of them. Let's see what some of the titles are.
That should be fun. Here's a batch for you. I'll go through these.
Don't you think you're sitting rather close to me, Miss Brooks?
I know I'm sitting close to you, Mr. Boynton.
Well, I mean, I'm a little off balance. I don't want to break any records.
Don't worry, you won't. Great old number. If I could be with you 1 hour tonight.
I'm a lone cowhand.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Don't fence me in.
I'm in the mood for love.
It's too late now.
I can dream, can't I?
All right, Louie, drop the gun.
Everything I have is yours.
I got plenty of nothing.
Drink to me only with thine eyes.
I want a glass of water.
Quiet, Stevie. You've had all the water you're going to get. Now go to sleep.
Okay, okay. Don't get petulant.
Maybe you should let him have it, Miss Brooks.
I'd love to let him have it. He's had quite enough, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, say, here's a beautiful number. The Bells of St. Mary's.
Oh, that is beautiful. Excuse me, Mr. Boynton.
Before you answer it, Miss Brooks, I'd like you to know I've changed my mind. I just can't stand the thought of you spending New Year's Eve alone, so, well, I'll call my friends and tell them not to expect me. That is, if you still want me to stay here with
you. If I still want you, Mr. Boynton, don't move from that spot. Be right there. If I still want him, he says.
Hi, that's Miss Brooks. We just couldn't stand the thought of you spending New Year's Eve alone. Come on in, Walter.
Oh, but what about your friend's party, Harriet?
We told them we weren't coming, Miss Brooks. Walter and I decided to spend New Year's Eve right here with you.
With me? But Mr. Boynton's here.
Oh, hello, Harriet, Walter. How are you both?
I'm fine, thanks, Mr. Boynton. We came back to help Miss Brooks celebrate the New Year.
Well, good. The more the merrier. I'm staying here, too.
Wonderful. We'll have our own party, the four of us. Won't that be just the end, Miss Brooks?
It'll be the end of something.
Had a good time so far.
So have I, drinking Cokes and playing records.
Boy, it has been rather exciting at that. Don't you think so, Miss Brooks?
Thrilling. I can hardly wait until midnight.
What are you going to do then?
I'm going to crack open a brand new bottle of Sweet Air and spray the kitchen.
It's almost midnight now. Gee, I wish Daddy were here.
That would be all I need.
Turn the radio on, Walter. The Club Tambourine is broadcasting their New Year's Eve party.
Oh, okay, Mr. Boynton.
Poor Daddy's missing all the fun. He and those old professors of his probably played a few games of chess and went to bed about 11:30.
Well, perhaps it's for the best, Harriet. Your father's a very high-strung man. Too much noise isn't good for him.
I've got the station.
Well, it's 2 minutes to midnight, folks, and here to give you the signal to the stroke of 12 is one of our most distinguished citizens and an honored guest of Club Tambourine. Here he is. Your friend and mine, happy-go-lucky, gag-a-minute, Osgood Conklin!
Osgood Conklin?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for that charming introduction, Professor Young.
That's him, all right.
I have just time before the old year is dead to tell you lovely people that a funny thing happened to me on my way to the club tonight. A panhandler stopped me outside the door and said, "Mister, I haven't had a bite all week." So I bit him.
Oh, great. Madison's next principal will probably be Milton Berle.
Now, when I give you the signal, let's get those noisemakers going and really let her rip. There are only 5 seconds to go. 4, 3, 2, 1.
I can't understand what got into Daddy tonight.
Maybe it was some of Mrs. Davis's fruit punch.
Harriet, your dad's entitled to have a little fun once in a while. After all, people are only human.
Well, it is New Year's Eve.
It sure is. And it's midnight, too, Harriet. You know what that means.
I guess so, Walter. Well, come on, I'm all puckered.
Well, here goes, Harriet.
Mr. Boynton, do you see the work that's going on in the next yard?
Yes, I do, Miss Brooks. And although I must admit I'm a rather diffident person most of the time, I feel that this being New Year's Eve, I can take a certain liberty.
Liberty? You can take shore leave.
Well, I'm ready if you are.
I'm puckered, Mr. Boynton.
I'm thirsty, Miss Brooks. Oh.
Well, that's done it. If you'll forgive me, Mr. Boynton, I'm going to pour 3 glasses of water.
3? But who are the extra 2 for?
You and me. We might as well be loaded as the way we are.
Eve Arden returns in just a moment, but first... Dream girl, beautiful.
Magical Luster Cream Girl.
Tonight? Yes, tonight. Show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a Luster Cream shampoo. Luster Cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives Kay Dumas' magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid. Luster Cream shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, soft, manageable. Even in hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight, yes, tonight, try Luster Cream shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream shampoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in announcing that the poll of newspaper and magazine radio editors taken by Motion Picture Daily for Fame magazine showed that Eve Arden was voted the best radio comedian in 1949.
My sincere thanks to the radio editors, Motion Picture Daily, and Fame magazine, and to every school teacher and pupil, as well as their parents and friends, a very happy new year. Good night.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, and Jeff Silver. Be beauty-wise, get bath-sized Palmolive soap for beauty care all over. Yes, for your tub or shower, enjoy the same glorious beauty lather that millions of women have found so wonderful in bringing lovelier complexions in just 14 days.
Simply buy the big, thrifty, long-lasting bath-sized Palmolive. Use it for your Palmolive soap facials. Enjoy its oceans of creamy, beautifying lather in your tub or shower. And say, men love it, too. So let the whole family enjoy bath-sized Palmolive.
Yes, be beauty-wise. Get bath-sized Palmolive soap today. For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamont speaking.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It's Saturday morning. What more appropriate than the Saturday morning show? Here it comes at 6 a.m. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
Wherever you are now that the holidays are over, in your office, or home, or even in beautiful downtown Burbank, did you remember to answer your Christmas seal letter? Hello, I'm Ruth Buzzy, and like most of you, I'm trying to get the house in order again after the hectic holiday season, and I keep finding so many things I forgot to do during the holidays. Did this happen to you? Did it happen to your Christmas seal letter? Is it over there in that stack of mail you're meaning to answer one of these days? Well, emphysema, tuberculosis, and other respiratory diseases, and air pollution, none of these take any holidays. They're still with us and still a serious threat to our health. When you answer your Christmas seal letter, you're joining the fight against these killers and cripplers. It's not too late. Answer your Christmas seal letter right now. It's a matter of life and breath.
And the time is 6 a.m.
This is CKU.